But the book of Hebrews, please, with me. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now let's ask God's guidance and leadership. Father, I pray tonight You direct our thoughts. Help us to comprehend the things of God. Help us to understand and to rightly divide the divine holy truths of this book tonight. I pray, dear God, that You'd give our understanding tonight some help, and God, that we might understand the things of God and the Scriptures like we should. May the presence of God be here. May we be strengthened in our faith. May our understanding be enlightened. Lord, may we have a fuller explanation of the Bible by the time we get out of this book tonight. We'll give You the praise and the glory for what You're going to accomplish and do in our heart and life. Use us and forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to look at something. Back up right quickly. Sometimes in the book of Hebrews, there's a lot of things, and I'm going to come back and deal with this in a minute, but I want to just point this part out. I personally believe that Paul is the writer of the book of Hebrews. A lot of people will differ with that, but I do want to point this out. Go back to the book of Romans, and go back to the book of Romans chapter number 1. Now, as we turn, we're going to turn our Bible. Look at this. We'll take our little time, get this out. I think I pointed this out to you once before. But in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 1, and the first word of the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 1 is what?
Paul.
So that's pretty clear, isn't it? That you believe that Paul is the writer of the book of Romans. Would you say that tonight? I would. Now, slide over to the next book, which is the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 1. And the first word of verse number 1 is what?
Paul.
So we believe that Paul is the writer of the book of 1 Corinthians. The next book, 2 Corinthians, what's the first word of verse number 1?
Paul.
Paul, an apostle. Then we go right on over. Next is the book of Galatians. And the book of Galatians, chapter number 1, verse number 1, the first word is?
Paul.
Amen. And on it goes. We go to the book of Ephesians. The first word of Ephesians?
Paul.
So Paul is the writer. And then the next one, the book of Philippians, is what?
Paul.
Pretty clear, isn't it? And then the Colossians.
Paul.
We find that Paul is the writer of Colossians. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 1,
Paul,
again. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse number 1,
Paul, again.
Then we go to 1 Timothy, and the first word of 1 Timothy chapter 1,
Paul,
amen. Somebody done quit now and not looking because you know what to say. And the second epistle of Timothy chapter number 1, verse 1,
who is it?
Paul, again. And then in the book of Titus, chapter number 1, verse number 1, first word,
Paul.
And on it goes Philemon. What is the first word of Philemon?
Paul.
Now what's the first word of Hebrews, chapter 1?
God.
Alright. Now we find tonight, and if you'll look in your Bible, and how many can tell me this by looking at your Bible, at the top of the book of Hebrews, it will say the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. How many's got that? Alright, that's probably in everybody's Bible. But that's kind of like the book of Revelation. Nowhere in the Scriptures, the book of Hebrews, does it say anything about Paul. And this is, it said the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. Remember verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. It says, it talks about the book, it talks about of St. John the Divine in the heaven, if you look at it. But the first verse says, this is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And so we'll find that man puts the headings on it. And so it does not say anything about Paul in the first parts of the book of Hebrews, but I will show you if I get time tonight why I believe that Paul is the writer of the book of Hebrews. And so we're not going to stress that out too much tonight. That's not the real thing that we're trying to get across out of the book of Hebrews. And I don't believe God's trying to get us to seeing all that about the writers. Now here's Paul has given us what? 13 epistles. 13 epistles with his name, and if you count Hebrews, be 14, and you count those. Now the theme of the book of Hebrews is Christ as the Lord Jesus and His superiority over everything and everyone. And if you look at this and studying it, in chapter number 1, we see He's superior, and you find His superiority over the prophets. In chapters 1 down through 3, we'll find He's talking about it. He said, you know, in times past, He's revealed Himself through the fathers by the prophets. You remember that? See it in verse number 1? Happened these last days, you know, He's given it to us through His Son. So Jesus is superior over the prophets in the first chapter. And then in the last part of the first chapter and in the chapter number 2, we'll find that He's superior over the angels. Jesus is higher than the angels. Amen. He's trying to show us He's superior in all that. When we get to chapter number 3, He deals with Moses, and He lets us know that Moses is inferior, and Jesus is superior over Moses. And then we find in chapter number 4, Joshua, and He's superior over Joshua. When we get to chapter 5, just kind of look at these things and go home and look at it. We'll find the high priest, he talks about, we'll find this Aaron, he's talking about Aaron, and he's superior to Aaron. Aaron was the priest, you remember, in the Old Testament time. And then in chapter number 7, on up through chapter 10, we find that he's superior over Judaism or over the Jews and the Jewish religion. He's superior over that. And then when you get to the 11th chapter, which is the faith chapter, we're going to talk about that. We get there, and you'll find that the remainder of that, he's superior over all the saints of God. So Christ is the theme of the book of Hebrews, and he's superior over everything and everyone. Ain't you glad we got a Christ that is ahead and over it all? So by looking at that, it can help you by looking at the Word of God. Now the book of Hebrews is a book of better things. The word better is used quite often. Let's look at some of them tonight. Matter of fact, the word better is mentioned 13 times in the entire book of Hebrews. And turn in chapter 1 and verse number 4. Look at chapter 1, verse 4. Being made so much, what's that word? Better than what? Better than the angels. I told you, superior over the angels. But you'll find that word better than the angels in chapter 1 and verse number 4. Now, let's kind of move over to chapter number 6. And we'll skip a few chapters and come to this word, finding this word better. In chapter 6 and verse 9. And chapter 6, verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things. You see that? And you'll find that same thing, better things and better thing, in chapter 11, verse 40, and chapter 12, and verse 24. We'll not turn to them, but it talks about better things. Thank God it's a book of better things. And then in chapter 7, move back to chapter 7, and look at verse 19, and the Bible says this, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a what?
Better hope.
Better hope. Praise God. I'm glad that we have, you know, Christ is better than the angels. We have some better things. And thank God we have a better hope tonight. Amen. We got a better hope than the world has, don't we?
Amen.
The world don't have no hope. We had hope in this world. The Bible said we'd be of what? Most men miserable. But thank God we have better hope. So the book of Hebrews helps us with that. In chapter 7 and verse 22, the Bible says something else. But by so much was Jesus made a surety of a what? Better testament. That word testament is agreement or covenant. And so we have a better testament or a better covenant through Jesus Christ. We've got a better testament, a better promise, a better covenant. And so we find that tonight through the Lord Jesus. In chapter 8 and verse number 6, the Bible said in 8 and verse 6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. That goes right along with the better testament, which was established upon what? Better? What? Promises. Praise God, we got better promises. That word better is mentioned twice in the 8th chapter and verse number 6. Thank God for that. And then we find in chapter 9 and verse number 23. Now these may not mean much to you, but I preached off all these things. It's good to know that the book of Hebrews is of better things. And it's a book that points to better things to come. Amen. This life's not all there is to it. Well, there's better things. We got a better promise. We got better hopes. We got better times coming, have we not? Amen. That ought to excite us as a child of God. Chapter 9, verse number 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with what? Better sacrifices than these. So we got better sacrifices. As a matter of fact, the best sacrifice is the Lord Jesus Christ who gave Himself for us. In the Old Testament, they had blood, the blood of bulls and goats and animals. But thank God we have a better sacrifice tonight, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Now, chapter number 10 and verse number 34. You getting these better things? In here, the word better. Verse 34, for He had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a what? Better and an enduring substance. We got something in heaven better. Amen. We got a better substance. And by the way, it said an enduring substance. Then in chapter 11 and verse number 16. Chapter 11, verse 16. But now they desire a what? Better country. Praise God, we got a better country. He points them all out to us. That is an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. So the book of Hebrews is a book of better things. Chapter 11, verse 35. Chapter 11, verse 35. The Bible said, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not except deliverance, that they might obtain a what? Better resurrection, praise God. So everything's ahead for us. It's better things. So the book of Hebrews is a book of better things. Now, I want to point out something else. We keep it going. Let me give you the purpose of the book of Hebrews. Of course, it's like anything else, and like all the other books of the Bible, its purpose is for God to give us leadership. But let me specify a few things about Hebrews. First of all, I believe the book of Hebrews is given to us that to keep the saints from going back or backing up or backsliding. And in this case, the Jews. He don't call them Jews in Hebrews. He calls them Hebrews, which is the same. Jews and Hebrews are the same. We're Gentiles, and we're not Hebrews. We're Gentiles. But the Jews and the Hebrews are the same. So the book, basically, to the this to the Jews, but he's talking to this, and the saints of God can get what we can from it. So we find that God has given us, if you will, turn to chapter number 2. Chapter number 2, let's look at verses 1 through 4. I'll give you this, and by way of looking at it, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2, read with me, therefore, in verse 1, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should what? Let them slip. In other words, He's given us the Word of God in the book of Hebrews to keep us from backsliding and backing up, because we ought to stay with it, you see, and back up with it. Not back up with it, but stay with it and not return to the old rudiments of the world. So God has given the book of Hebrews for that. Secondly, slide over to chapter 5. I'm just giving you a few points out of this book to show you what God's trying to get across to His people. In chapter 5, verse 11, He's saying, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now He's also given the book of Hebrews, not only to keep us from backing up and backsliding, but He's trying to provoke us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Is that right? Now looking at this tonight, He don't want us to back up, does He? God don't want us to backslide. He wants us to stay with what we got. Take heed, lest we let anything that we've already heard slip. So stay with that. Secondly, He wants us to grow. If you're not careful, you'll catch yourself getting dull of hearing, and you don't want to grow in the grace of God. Many times I've done that myself personally. I've studied the Word of God, and just because you study it every day, just because you read it every day, and just because you learn new truths from it every day, if you're not careful, you'll get to the place you'll grow slack and cold. The devil will see to it that you'll get place in your life that you'll grow cold and slack, and you'll think, well, I can let it slide. I don't have to read it today. Don't have to study it today. And you'll let it get by. I read it a little extra yesterday, or I'll read it a little extra tomorrow. That's what the devil says. And he tries to manipulate you, and he will, and he wants to keep you from growing. The devil does not want you to grow in grace and knowledge. In chapter 11, that's the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Matter of fact, if you'll write this down or put it in your memory, Hebrews chapter 11 is the longest chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, I think the one prior to that has got 39 verses. It's got 40. But it's the longest chapter of the book of Hebrews. And the entire chapter deals with one little word. What is it? Faith. It's the faith chapter. I call it the Hall of Faith. We'll find the Hall of Faith characters in chapter 11. God deals with that. But out of that chapter, God's trying to show us that in all of it, in the last portions of the book of Hebrews, He talks about all the persecutions that they had. Now what's He saying? The book of Hebrews is trying to tell us not to turn, not to back up, not to backslide, number one, and get to the place where we can keep growing in the grace of knowledge of God, and not get to the place that we become dull of hearing, and not get to the place where we meet back on the Bible and not on the meat of the Word of God. We need to grow. And now He's trying to say, hey, look, I want to comfort you in your persecutions. If you're not careful, persecution will come, and you'll get a bad taste of God in your mouth. Amen. Now listen to me. I'm going to give you something that's practical. I've seen this over and over and over again. I've experienced it in my life. You've experienced it in yours. You may sit there and say, it don't happen to me. It hasn't happened to me. But if it hasn't, you've been blessed thus far. It will happen. Amen. We are easy to thank God and thankful to God for the things that we have as long as everything is going in our manner or in our way and in our favor. Amen. Well, we got all our bills paid. Our house is in pretty good shape. Don't need no work. And we're doing well. Our kids are well. Everything seems to be going all right. Got good jobs and everything. And everything seems it'd be easy for us to praise God. But one day you're going to walk into the doctor's office, and the doctor's going to say you got bad health. And sometime down the road, some of us just kick out of here. And, not have a chance to say goodbye to nobody. But we might go to the doctor's office and he say, hey, look, you've got cancer. You got about 2 weeks to live. And that's going to hit you hard. I don't care whether you're a Christian or not. Amen. That's going to hit you hard. None of us, I reckon, has had that that's been said to us yet. But if they do, you're going to come out and say, look, I've been serving God for 40 years, for 50 years. If you're not careful, that one little thing that the doctor is going to tell you is going to get you and defeat you. Amen. Or you're going to walk in on your job one day, and they're going to say, hey, I hate to tell you, but we won't need you at the quitting time today. You don't no longer have a job. Amen. Or you're going to wake up one day, and one of your loved ones is taken out from under you. Might be a child. Amen. It might be a baby. It might be a middle-aged child. It might be a middle-aged, child, of course, even if they are grown, they're still children, amen. And so we know tonight, anything can happen. Anything can happen. And cause you to change your mind. Matter of fact, I just got word today about a man, and of course, his wife died a couple of years ago. I preached her funeral 3 years ago or so, I guess. Four? How long? 2 years. And so anyhow, she'd been dead a little while, and I preached his funeral. Guess what happened? And he's gone to the dogs. Stayed in church in all his years, and now he won't even go to church and blames God. I've seen it happen over and over and over. I've seen people stay in church for years, and all of a sudden something happened. They have a divorce, they have a death or something, and it tears them all to pieces, and they just get out of it. Now, that's what Hebrews has come to us to tell us today. when the persecution comes, what do you do when persecutions come and troubles come and things you can't control? What do you do when that happens? You stay with God. You keep on going. You don't give up on God. Hebrews is trying to tell us to do that. Something else he's trying to do. In chapter number 6 of the book of Hebrews, the Lord's given us something else. And in chapter number 6, chapter number 10, and chapter number 12, let's just turn to chapter 12. And I can give you these and go back and look at these other things too, but we don't have the time. In chapter number 12, you'll find some things going on, verses 1 down through verses 9. He's talking about chastisement. We won't read that tonight, but he's talking about chastening. Now, God is trying to get us to the place to enlighten us on why we have chastening. Why does God whip on us? He don't whip on us because He enjoys it. Some of us kids have come up and our parents got a hold of us and whipped us a few times and we thought they just enjoyed it. They did it because they liked it. And this is one of them things that they love. How many of you really thought that a few times as a young? Yeah, we did, didn't we? We thought, hey, they just enjoyed this. They enjoy. And sometimes they'd look at you and say, this hurts me worse than do you, and you wouldn't believe it. You just lie. They're lying. They don't believe that. And so we know that chastening comes to us, does it not? And when that chastening comes, God's trying to show us in the book of Hebrews that the reason we get chastened is because we are wayward. We're out of the will of God. We're moving away from Him, and we need the correction. God's trying to enlighten us out of the book of Hebrews. That's why we have chastening. He does a little bit of it in chapter number 6. He does a little bit of it in chapter number 10. And He shows us some more here in chapter number 12, verses 1 through 9. And I won't spend a long time on that. You just go home and read on it. It'll help you. Another thing He's doing is in chapter number 13, the book of Hebrews, in verse 9 especially, He said, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Now the Lord's trying to tell us here in the book of Hebrews from different places in here, He's trying to warn us from false teachers and false doctrines. And that's another reason He's laid out the book of Hebrews. Now you can say this about some of the other books of the Bible. These are the basic things that God's trying to get us to see in studying the Word of God. God's trying to keep us on the beaten path, is He not? He uses what does God use to keep us on the beaten path? The Word of God. Amen. You've got three weapons. You've got three weapons tonight to stay with God. Number one, you've got the Word of God. Amen. And you've got the Spirit of God. And you've got prayer. That's the three things that will keep you on the beaten path. If you throw the Bible down, you're already losing your direction. If you don't obey the Spirit and you begin to grieve the Spirit of God and bring respite to the Spirit of God, which is found in the book of Hebrews, what happens? You're already, now you've got two strikes against you on knowing which way to travel. And if you don't pray, then how in the world are you going to know how to travel and go and do what God wants to do? So God wants us to pray to seek His face so that the Spirit of God can direct us. But God gives us His eternal Holy Word to direct us so that we can know how to walk and to talk and to live. And so we lay down those three things. Every one of us have got those three things. Amen. Tonight, we've got the Word. We've got the Spirit if we're saved. Amen. And we have tonight prayer. And thank God them three things can keep you as straight as a stick. Amen. Or straighter than a stick. Because the Word of God can keep you right. Amen. And I praise God for it. So that's what He's trying to do. Teach us to stay away from false doctrines. And then in chapter number 13, you'll see this again. He's telling us this in verses 18. Look at verse 18. What does He say in the first two words, first three words of verse 18? What? Pray for us. He's teaching us to pray. You see, I said that's one of the weapons. So we get that. So this is what the book of Hebrews is trying to get to us. And that's an overall view of the book of Hebrews. Now, we'll find that there's some warnings out of the book of Hebrews. I told you we're not going to get through this tonight. We'll just quit in a little bit. All right. We want to look at a word or two that He's got mentioned in here. The word lest, L-E-S-T. He's got that several times. Let's back up and find it. First place is found in chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And he uses this. And I'll say Paul done it. We'll take another time and probably prove it. It was Paul, I believe, that wrote the book. And I got some scripture reasons why I believe it. And we'll look at those when we get time. But in chapter number 2 and verse number 1, what does he say? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. What? Lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen. Lest we do it. In other words, we give more earnest heed to it, lest we slip. In other words, he's using that. And Paul, which I believe is the writer, and he's telling us what we need to do. Look at verse 11 in chapter number 2. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all are of one. For which cause he is not ashamed. Well, excuse me, must be in the wrong verse here. 2, verse 11. It's a list. No, it ain't. Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the death. Still off, ain't I? We were blessed. All right? We'll look at 3 and 12. Excuse me. I'll get in the right place in a minute. Amen? Bear with me. I'm about as scattered as you are with it. Chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, what? Lest there be any of you, or in any of you, an evil heart of what? Unbelief in what? Departing from who? The living God. Now, what does I say the book of Hebrews is for? One of the things is to keep us from departing, backsliding. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 1. We've noticed that a while ago. Now, when we get to verse 13, in verse number chapter 3. But exhort one another daily, what it is called today, what? Lest any of you be what? Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In other words, if you're not careful and don't pay attention to the Word of God, it will harden your heart. You remember the preachers in here the other Wednesday night? What he said was that several times a Pharaoh hardened his heart. You remember him saying that? Well, what did he say at the last time? God hardened his heart. Amen. Because he kept hardening his heart. If you're not careful, by disobeying God and going against the Word of God, we will harden our hearts against God. Go to chapter 4 and verse 11. Chapter 4 and verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Let us labor to enter into that rest. What? Lest any man fall after the same example of what? Unbelief. So see, he's trying to correct us and keep us from backing up. He wants us to go forward. The book of Hebrews is very plain in this all the way through. Move to chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse number 3. Chapter 12 and verse number 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, what? Lest ye be what? Wearied and faint. Amen. Isn't that what he said? In your minds. Isn't that where the devil works? In our minds, is it not? Amen. He works in my mind before he gets in my heart. The devil's, somebody said, what is it? The old saying is, an idle mind is what? The devil's workshop. Now, the Bible didn't say that. But we do know tonight that that does work. You get an idle mind, see if it don't. If you keep your mind occupied, you won't be thinking about junk. If you think if you occupy your mind on the Scriptures, you'll occupy your mind on the things of God. You'll occupy your mind on good things. You'll keep good things on your mind. But if you start getting a place where you don't occupy them good things in your mind, something else will take over. You'll start thinking on the world, the flesh, and the devil. And guess what? You need to think on spiritual things. You need to think on godly things. You need to think on heavenly things. You need to think on churchy things. Amen. That's not a good term, but anyhow, it'll get the thought across. Is that right? We need to have our minds centered on right things. It's important that we think on the right things. Now, chapter number 12 and verse number 13. The Bible said, and make straight paths for your feet. What? Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You notice that everything's turning and going away from God? He's saying you've got to stay with it lest you turn, in a sense. That's what he's saying to us. Now, verse 15 of chapter 12. Looking diligently, what? Lest any man fail of the grace of God. And he got it again. Lest any root of what? Bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Hey, where's that bitterness come? When we get to turning away from God. Amen. We've got to stay on check with this. We've got to stay with it. God wants us. Now, let's go back and find some more warnings. I used to preach this back years ago, and I said the book of Hebrews talks about lettuce. It's a book of lettuce. And somebody said, well, I don't understand that. And you will, and I know you know what I'm fixing to do. But in chapter number 4 and verse number 1, which I was trying to read a while ago, in chapter number 4, verse number 1, he said, lettuce. There we are. All right. See, well, somebody think I was talking about a salad here. But it's talking about let us therefore fear. Now he's talking to the saints of God. Let us therefore fear. There's that word again. Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now he said, let us therefore fear. Now we got to have that. We got to have some fear of God in our heart. Now, let's go to verse 11. The Bible said, let us what? Labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Now, we look at that sometimes. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. I'm going to give you, I've got a stopping place here in a minute. We'll stop and go. But look at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, what? Let us what? Hold fast our profession. He's trying to make sure that we're steadfast and holding and unmovable. As Corinthians says, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. That's what we're to do, is it not? Now look at verse 16. Here's another lettuce. Let us therefore what? Come boldly. Where have we got to come to boldly? Under the throne of grace. We can come and pray that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we can come to the throne of grace. He's inviting us to the throne of grace. They couldn't have that in the Old Testament. They had to go to the priest that was on the earth. But we go to the great high priest, which is the book of Hebrews talks about. We won't get to that tonight. But we find that he said, let us come boldly. In chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, what? Let us go on unto perfection. That means maturity, getting the place that we are grown up in the Lord. Most of us, if we'll stop and think about tonight, we're not grown. We're growing. You haven't attained, you're still working on it. Amen. How many of you think you're fully grown spiritually? You're fully grown physically. Amen. Some of us are overgrown spiritually. Physically. But we're not overgrown spiritually. Right? And we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. So we need to what? Let us go on unto perfection, spiritual maturity. Amen. I haven't got there yet. I want to, though, don't you? Don't you wish tonight you're spiritually mature? Don't you wish you that the place you'd come on to the place of what God calls perfection? Boy, I tell you what, your husband and wife would sure like that too. Amen. You'd like for your preacher to get there. It'd be better for you. Amen. I'd like for the church to get that way. It'd be better for me. Amen. But we still need to go on. So he said, let us do that. Now, chapter 10, verse 22. Chapter 10, verse 22. We get to chapter 10, verse 22. He said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. We need to draw near. Let us draw near. Verse 23. Let us what? Hold fast the profession of our faith. What we believe, let us keep on holding to what we believe. Don't change your ideas. Don't change your tune. Don't change anything. Stay with the Word of God. Chapter number 10, verse number 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now here's a thing that we fail in. Amen. We don't want to consider one another. Selfishness comes in lots of times and we don't pay attention to somebody else. But he said in the Word of God, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. In other words, we provoke one another to love each other. Amen. That's right. Chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, what? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us, twice he's got let us, run with patience the race that is set before us. So we're to what? Lay aside. Let us lay aside every weight. And let us run the race with patience. Chapter 12, verse number 28. The Bible says, wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So we're to go on, press on toward that perfection that God wants us to have. That let us, He said here, let us have grace. And thank God we do have the grace of God. Now I want to sum this up for you tonight. If I was preaching this, this would make a good alliterated message. We could preach the book of Hebrews. I'll close with this. We could have an alliterated message out of the book of Hebrews on just what I've already said tonight. And I'll give you the dangers that we have. We'll get at the dangers, the five dangers out of the book of Hebrews, and he brings it to us in chapter number 2, verses 1 through 4. We've already been over. That's the danger of drifting. Amen. If you're not careful, you'll drift on God. Get cold and indifferent. The danger of drifting. When you get down to chapters 3 and 4, and you have to read them together, you'll read it together, you'll find out that they had already sat down, they had quit. And this is where he told them, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. They had already quit, and they got the place. And the reason they did is because they started doubting God. So there's the danger of drifting, and then there's the danger of doubting. If you ever get to the place you start doubting God and God's ability and why God done something and start questioning, started doubting God, you're in trouble. Amen. Don't ever doubt God. Amen. Even when you don't understand, when God does things, He knows best. In chapters 5 and on down, we'll find, especially through 11 through 14, and we read earlier to you, we'll find the danger of deformity. We'll call it deformity if you want to stay with that alliterated word. In other words, deforming. What happens if you get the place you don't grow in the grace physically? We'll say physical food, for instance. It'll start deforming your body. Your body will start shutting down. Will it not? Deform you. But if you'll get the place, you'll read the Word of God, study the Word of God, it'll keep you informed. You keep going forward. But if you don't, you'll get the place, you're back on milk and not meat. And so there's the danger of deformity. In chapter number 10, we talked about some things in chapter number 10 a while ago. But you'll find out that there's a danger of despising. If you're not careful, you get the place you despise the things of God. Amen. Have you ever got there? Surely you have a time or two in your life. There's a few things that you despise. And if you're not careful, some of the things that you despise, God has allowed them to be in your place for a purpose to get your attention. And we're not recognizing God. And if we're not careful, we'll start despising the things of God. And therefore, he said, we'll do despite to the Spirit of grace. And that's found in the 10th chapter there. And so we'll find that one. Then the last danger is in chapter 10 also, down verses number 22 on down. If you'll read that, you'll find out that they got the place that they begin to deny. There's a danger of denying God. Amen. And there's some, you said, well, I'd never do that. The saints of God will never do that, preacher. Well, what did Peter do? Huh? Now, do you think you're any better than him? You think you're stronger in the Spirit than he is? He walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. Now he stands there and denies and says, I know not to man. And on top of that, give a little cursing words with it. Amen. Made a little oath and said, no, I don't know him. And he lied. And see, I want to tell you something tonight. If you're not careful, you say, well, preacher, that's for the world. That's what the hypocrites do. That's what the ungodly do. No, the things I'm talking to you tonight out of the book of Hebrews are the things that we do. Amen. The book of Hebrews is to the child of God. Amen. Well, I could go on. I've got 3 or 4 more pages here, but we'll stop. How about that? And come back again, pick up some more. That help you out of the book of Hebrews? Makes it interesting to study it like that. And you say, well, I didn't see all that in there. It's there. You haven't been looking for it. That's the time I didn't see it either. Amen. But I'm glad it's there. I'm glad I see it. Thank God for the Word of God. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And we'll call upon the Lord. If there's any need in your heart and life tonight, you can come to the altar. There's some other things. There's some great things out of the book of Hebrews. We'll look at that. There's some other phrases There's some things and about the priest, and we're going to look at some things tonight. Or not tonight, but later, at another night maybe. And I pray that God will help us in looking at this book. Amen. Let's stand. I like for you to stand when we're having some kind of invitation. I don't hardly know how to give an invitation. We're trying to take a Bible study and study the Word of God.